Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
The Apostle Paul made this statement to the young preacher Timothy, found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My friends, the word of God must be rightly divided or handled aright. And this subject is just as important now in this generation as it was in generations past. And I fear that many people still do not know how to study and properly divide the word of God. Any generation which ignores this subject will be plunged into the depths of religious confusion. If the time ever comes when our preachers get away from the subject, Christianity will suffer a great defeat. No one should be expected to offer apologies for discussing any part of the Bible or any theme from the Bible. A preacher of another generation, T.B. Larimore, used to say, "We should be afraid to be ashamed, and ashamed to be afraid to discuss and preach that which is plainly revealed on any subject," unquote. And someone else has said that all that is true about Christianity is in the New Testament, and that if it is true, it is not new. The word of the Lord, friends, has not changed in 2,000 years, and God's word will not change. Christianity is an unchanging religion in a changing world. We do not need a new gospel for this modern age any more than we need a new sun for our planet. We do not need a new church for our time. The church of our Lord was built by Christ for all generations, Ephesians 3, verse 21. And that same church today needs no man-made creeds, needs nothing but the New Testament. If it be the same church, it can be governed by the same word which the apostles preached. We do not need anything new in religion. God said, through Jude, earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And in order to have the same religion which they had in the days of the apostles, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, the Bible is, first of all, divided into two great or grand divisions. That's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books beginning with Genesis. The New Testament has 27 books beginning with Matthew. And both Testaments are alike inspired of God. We read 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And by the Holy Spirit, Peter said, 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, an Old Testament writer, David, who was a sweet singer of Israel and also a prophet, said, 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. So Peter said that the Old Testament scripture was spoken by the Holy Spirit, not only in 2 Peter 1:21, but Acts chapter 1, verse 16. And likewise, the New Testament is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, who guided the writers into all truth, John 16, verse 13. Now, while the Old Testament is not binding upon us as a system of laws, it is still the Word of God, and it's still just as true as the New Testament. Christ placed His endorsement upon the outstanding events of history recorded in the Old Testament. He endorsed the story of the creation and of the miraculous origin of Adam and Eve, the first home. He did that in Matthew 19, verse 3 through verse 9. He endorsed the historical event of the great worldwide flood in Matthew 24, verse 37 through verse 39. He endorsed the historical event of the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and of Lot's wife in Luke 17, verse 29 through verse 32. He endorsed the historical event of Jonah being in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and nights in Matthew 12. Verse 39 through verse 41. And he said in John 5, verse 46 and 47, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So the word of God is for our admonition. Some deny that we believe the Old Testament, but it is historically accurate. It is the word of God. We just do not live under the Old Testament covenant, the Old Testament law. But the Apostle Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, regarding that Old Testament, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And we read about events that happened in the Old Testament that is said in the New Testament are for our benefit. For example, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and verse 11 of that 10th chapter. The Apostle Paul said, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Then verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And again in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 and verse 10. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. So the fact that the Old Testament is not binding upon us as a law does not mean that it ceased to be inspired and became man, it ceased to be God's Word at the death of Christ. The Old Testament is to us a history inspired of God, covering more than 4,000 years of God's dealing with man up until the time of the cross. Covenants may change, laws may change, but principles of truth are the same in all ages and are as much for one generation as another. For instance, they had the same God in the Old Testament that we have now. And we may preach from the Old Testament about the attributes of God, the nature of God, and the same as from the New Testament. He says in Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. God is the same as He has ever been. Concerning Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And furthermore, the home is still the same, according to the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 19, 1 through verse 9. A sermon now on the home might properly begin in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. And man is the same that he always has been, and any sermon on the nature of man could begin in the Old Testament. Death is the same, so we might start preaching now about death and begin in the Old Testament. Sin and temptation are the same from the beginning. While we have a higher standard of morals required of us in the New Testament, we can go back to the Old Testament to preach on any moral question, which is the same in the New Testament. Yet all of Christianity is in the New Testament. We may trace its tap roots back to the Old Testament and find them grounded in the prophecies and in the types and in the shadows back there. And we may preach all these as fulfilled in Christ and in the New Covenant. In fact, we may preach animal sacrifices, burning incense, provided we preach these as being parts of the law, as being only shadows, and not for us to practice. Great principles of truth are the same under all covenants. It is a principle of truth that God required the people of Old Testament times to believe His Word. He required them to obey His commands, and He wanted them to trust His promises. These principles are just as true now under the New Testament as they were then. We're required to believe more than they were required to believe back then, though, and to obey different commands. And many promises made to us are different from those made back there. But now as then, man is to believe God's Word. Man is to obey the commands of God. Man is to trust the promises of God. He has always blessed those who did His will and cursed those who failed. We're not always to do the same things which they were commanded to do, for we're to do whatever He commands us to do in the New Testament. Some commands are the same, though, in both Old and New Testaments. If a thing is taught in the New Testament and bound upon us by the apostles as they taught and preached under the Great Commission, but not found required in the Old Testament, we must obey that which is required of us, whether it was practiced back then or not. For instance, baptism and the Lord's Supper are required of us in the New Testament, Mark 16, verse 16, Matthew 26, verse 26 through verse 28. We must do these things, yet Abraham, Moses, and the prophets back under the law were not required to do those things. They will never be judged by that part of the Bible under which we live. Neither would we be judged by the law under which they lived. It does not follow that because Abel and Noah and Abraham and others could be saved back there without baptism, that we could be saved under the new covenant without baptism. For the new covenant makes baptism a condition of salvation. If an item required in the Old Testament has been left out of the New Testament and is not bound upon us by Christ and the apostles, such as burning of incense, circumcision, instrumental music and worship, and the like, we may not do those things, though they be found authorized in the Old Testament. If Christ and the apostles left such things out back in the New Testament, we should leave them out today. We have no right to bring Judaism over and to splice it into Christianity. Those who go back to the Old Testament for authority to practice anything else that they want are obligated to practice all that is commanded in the Old Covenant, not just what they like. Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 3 and verse 4, "I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." So one going back to the Old Testament for any item or any doctrine not found in the New Testament is really obligated by principle to accept and teach and practice everything found in the Old Testament. And we would say of a Jew today that if he accepts and practices one thing in the New Testament not found in the Old, he would be obligated to be consistent to practice all things that are authorized in the New Testament. And I wish that people would get this sound principle of the Bible interpretation and follow it. So Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth." When we handle aright the word of truth, we'll understand that the Lord expects people today to believe in Him. He expects and commands, Luke 13:3, for people to repent. He expects and commands in Matthew 12, verse 32, for people to confess Him. Also Romans 10, verse 13. He expects and commands people to be baptized, Mark 16, verse 16. He expects and commands that His people be faithful unto Him until death. And if one has erred from the faith, he needs to repent and come back to God and be faithful in obeying. A very pleasant good afternoon.